This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. The South Dakota Senate will come to order, and we're privileged to welcome, on behalf of Senator Van Gerpen, Pastor Michael Boyle of the Memorial Baptist Church in Parkston, South Dakota, to pray with us and for us. And our page of the day, leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance to our great nation's flag, is Mallory Gower from Wetonka.
Let us bow in prayer. Dear gracious God, creator of the universe, ruler over all mankind, the great judge, Lord, we just, as we come before you to do the people's business, Lord, we ask for your guidance and direction. Lord, we realize that you require justice from us. You will judge us, and you require us to judge others and do justice and provide law in accordance to your word. And Lord, you have given promised to give us wisdom when we seek your guidance and counsel. So Lord, we do ask for your guidance, your wisdom to be given to us. And Lord, we realize that before we can receive your guidance and wisdom, we must seek you and your will with all of our hearts. And so Lord, you know each one's heart, but Lord, we just pray that you would preside over this, that we would be ministers of justice according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary, call the roll, please.
Bradford, Brown, Buell, O'Donnell, Kamak, Curd, Ewing, Fagan, Frerichs, Greenfield, Hager, Haverly, Heinemann, Heinert, Holine, Hanoff, Jensen, Monroe, Norstrup, Olson, Omdale, Otten, Parsley, Peters, Peterson, Rampelberg, Rush, Shorma, Sohold, Solano, Sutton, Tiedemann, Teason, Van Gerpen, Valley, and White. You have a quorum, Mr. President.
Thank you. Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the ninth day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Senator Kamak, Chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We'll take a pause in the business that we have at hand and welcome all of you to your state capitol and the Senate, obviously. And we also want to thank those who continue to watch us over the airs and are really grateful for our partnership with South Dakota Public Broadcasting. And especially, we have a gallery full on behalf of AARP of South Dakota, always an incredibly significant day. I'm old enough, I saw one of your members stand up there with an iPad. I'm old enough to actually remember when people were up there clicking Polaroids. So you might be AARP, but you're revolutionary, and we're more grateful than ever for your involvement. And not only that, but your process and your advocacy and especially your mentoring for organizations and other people to get involved. Because as you know, from many of you who have served, obviously Colonel Eesnick, that we aren't the government. We are people that work with you that become the government in public service. And we thank you very much. Over 150 AARP South Dakota volunteers and members from across our great state are here today, and they were obviously down there in the lobby serving us. Annual Lobby Day is an opportunity for their members to discuss issues with their legislators and advance their advocacy efforts for residents age 50 and greater. And again, on behalf of Eric Nelson, who is a really dynamic lobbyist for all of you, we really appreciate it. Thank you for coming to your Capitol, especially the Senate. AARP. We also have a proclamation for the YMCA Day, but I don't, is anybody here from YMCA yet? Oh, here you are, great. Of course, a couple of people like Dr. Monroe want to get up and do the dance, And we're not going to allow that because there are certain things that cannot be unseen. But we really want to thank, and I have a proclamation to read on your behalf. And would you please stand, those with YMCA. This is Executive Proclamation, the State of South Dakota Office of the Governor. Since 1885, the South Dakota Alliance of YMCAs has strengthened the foundations of local communities through programs and services that foster youth development, healthy living, and social responsibility. Whereas more than 55,000 people of all ages, races, faiths, abilities, and economic backgrounds in South Dakota benefit directly each year from YMCA's extensive programming designed to nurture the potential of children, improve health and well-being, and provide support for those in need. Whereas over 31,000 South Dakota children are actively engaged in after-school enrichment programs, early learning child care, outdoor education at summer camp and youth sports, with a focus on character development and swim lessons and water safety, teen leadership, and arts education. And whereas YMCA partners with over 25 community organizations to improve the health and well-being of South Dakota citizens in 28 counties through programs such as Pioneering Healthy Communities and Y Diabetes Prevention. And whereas the South Dakota YMCAs provide nearly $1.9 million in direct financial assistance annually to enable individuals, children, and families to participate in their programs to enhance their health and well-being, and no one is turned away for inability to pay. More than 3,000 individual volunteers at YMCA each year, making South Dakota Alliance one of the largest volunteer-led and driven organizations in South Dakota. Each YMCA is governed by a local volunteer board of directors who generously give of their time, expertise, and resources in order to strengthen our communities by addressing local needs. Now, therefore, I, Dennis Dugard, and his incredibly cool Lieutenant Governor, as Governor of the State of South Dakota, do hereby proclaim today, January 26, 2016, YMCA Day. Congratulations. And remain standing for Senator Ryan Maher. Give it up. Woo! You can understand if you don't know, obviously he's a former member, but we have a lot of individual he owes money to. That's why they were so happy to see you. Good to see you, Senator. Thank you all for being here and for your support of all those activities and many more. Thank you. Any other personal privileges? Okay, we're going on to business that's actually pretty routine. We're not going to pay a whole lot of attention yet until we get into our bills, and it doesn't mean that we're disrespectful. We just have to follow this routine under our Constitution. This is all embedded in our computer programming anymore, but it doesn't mean we don't love our Secretary Boots. We love her dearly, so we'll proceed. Reports of standing committees, please. And this year, reports of the committees that heard bills. And so we're following bills as they're coming out of the respective committees as to their status. Please proceed.
The Committee on Judiciary reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 21 and recommends due pass, and Senate Bill 22 and recommends due pass amended. Senator Teason, Chair. And the Committee on Commerce and Energy reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 60 and recommends due pass, and Senate Bill 57 and recommends due pass consent calendar. Senator Curd, Chair. And the Committee on Education reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bills 5 and 8 and recommends due pass amended, and Senate Bill 63 and recommends due pass amended to be placed on the consent calendar. Senate Sohol, Chair.
Next item is messages, please.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Bills 1004, 1013, 1027, 1033, 1036, 1039, 1040, 1052, and 1055, which have passed the House, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Arlene Kvislin, Chief Clerk.
That's a message from the House indicating that they've passed some bills, sending over to here and over here. President Pro Tem Kamak will assign those as the time is appropriate. Next is motions and resolutions.
Senator Brown moves that Senate Bill 28 be deferred until Wednesday, January 27th, the 11th legislative day.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Senator Brown moves that we will go into session at 1:30 Thursday, January 28th.
Correct. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We will go into session Thursday at 1:30. Thank you. Our next item is first reading of Senate bills. We have a few Senate bills here that need to be read in open session. Again, because we didn't have computers, it's required that these bills be read, their titles and numbers, and then I read where they were assigned, and it's because people would be sitting up there like in the gallery, you were trying to keep track of where bills went, and again, now it's computerized, but this is required under our Constitution. We also have a rule where a bill can maybe filed and then also withdrawn by the sponsor due to many reasons. And in this case, we have Senate Bill 61, which has been withdrawn by its requester and sponsor, Senator Betty Olson. So 61 in the record has been withdrawn. Please proceed with first reading.
Senate Bill 84, an act to require municipalities to reimburse the counties for certain judicial and law enforcement expenditures. 85, an act to revise certain provisions regarding motorcycle license plates. 86, an act to amend the 2017 General Appropriations Act to revise certain programs and promote efficiency in state government. 87, an act to revise certain programs and promote efficiency in state government and to make an appropriation therefor. 88, an act to revise certain programs and promote efficiency in state government. 89, an act to revise certain provisions related to permits to carry a concealed pistol. 90, an act to ensure that members of the public are able to access and record public meetings. 91, an act to revise certain provisions concerning the information on the forms provided to people who sign initiated constitutional amendments or initiated measures. 92, an act to continue a math pilot project at the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology to make an appropriation, therefore, and to declare an emergency. 93, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the homestead exemption. And finally, Senate Bill 94, an act to repeal the death penalty.
Senator Kamak has assigned the following bills to the respective committees, Senate Bill 84, 86, 87, and 88 to Joint Appropriations, 92, Education, Judiciary, 89, 90, and 93. Senate Bills 91, 94 are assigned to State Affairs, and Transportation has been assigned Senate Bill 85. We are on to first reading of House bills, please.
House Bill 1004, an act to make form and style revisions to certain statutes regarding counties. 1013, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the alternative instruction achievement test for children excused from school attendance. 1027, an act to revise certain provisions regarding licensure of massage therapists. 1033, an act to revise certain provisions concerning elections and election petitions and to declare an emergency. 1036, an act to revise certain provisions concerning campaign finance requirements. 1039, an act to revise various trust and trust company provisions and to establish and regulate South Dakota special spousal trusts. 1040, an act to revise and implement certain provisions regarding the regulation of risk retention groups. 1052, an act to revise certain alcoholic beverage business restrictions on Department of Revenue employees. And finally, 1055, an act to clarify that a gift of real property does not require a disclosure statement.
Commerce has assigned 10 House Bills 1040 and 1052, Education 1013, Health and Human Services House Bill 1027, Judiciary 1055, Local Governments assigned 1004, 1033, 1036, and State Affairs is assigned House Bill 1039. Next order of business is what is referred to as a consent calendar. For those of you who work in a lot of different businesses, nonprofits, this is our efficiency calendar. They're actually non-controversial. Under our rules, these bills have to pass from the committee unanimously and have to be affirmatively put on a calendar where there is no debate. Although you can have the bill pulled by any senator and debated the following day, and only questions are allowed at this time. So if at this time, are any of these bills pulled? I see not. So we will proceed. And in the Senate, we take them all at the same time for, again, for efficiency. So second reading consent.
Senate Bill 6, an act to revise certain performance security requirements for public improvement contracts. House Bill 1026, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the annual inspection requirement for licensed health care facilities. And House Bill 1028, an act to repeal certain outdated and obsolete statutes related to the Department of Health.
Senate Bill 6, House Bill 1026 and 1028, having received a second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. Are there any questions, Senators, on any of these bills? We'll stand by. We'll wait. Thank you for stopping by. If you need to leave, we'll wait for the vote. Come again. Thank you. Thank you for your patience. I'll start the cadence again so Secretary can hear that. Senate Bill 6, House Bill 1026 and 1028, having received a second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. Senators, any questions on any of these bills? Okay, hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 6 and House Bills 1026 and 1028. Those in favor of passage of all three, will you please vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, call the roll, please.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell O'Donnell.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Curd.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Fegan.
Aye.
Frerichs, excused. Greenfield. Hager.
Aye.
Haverly.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Holine.
Aye.
Hanoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Parsley.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rush.
Shorma. Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 34 yeas, one excused.
Senate Bill 6, House Bill 1026 and 1028, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, are all hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the titles? The titles are approved then. Thank you. Now we are on to our debate calendar. We have just one bill for our debate calendar, and that is Senate Bill 27. Please proceed, Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill 27, an act to revise certain personnel requirements for ambulance services and to repeal the hardship exemption.
Thank you. Senate Bill 27, having received second reading, is up for consideration, discussion, and debate. Senator Brown, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. You know, I've often remarked that those of us sitting here on the floor, when you ran for office, you probably thought there were certain areas that you would really focus on legislatively. And after you've been down here for a few years, you realize that sometimes there are areas that you didn't expect to be involved in that you end up dealing with. And certainly this bill today would be one of those areas for me. Starting several years ago, it came to my attention from a number of communities that I had in my district that there were struggles with the ambulance services and the EMS world in these communities. And essentially what has occurred is over time it's become more difficult to get. Most of these are largely volunteer services. There's a substantial amount of time and training that has to occur to get these folks up to speed to be EMTs. And essentially, it's, you know, not easy to always find enough people to be able to fill those slots. So if you go way back to the 1980s, when this whole realm was set up at the state level and legislation was put in place, there was that idea of this hardship exemption. And essentially it was to accommodate probably those rural volunteer services that were not able to fully staff their services to always have two EMTs available at once. You could apply for this hardship exemption. You would come up with a plan of action, and it would allow the service to remain legal and operate at less than full capacity. As the title indicates, it's supposed to be an exemption, meaning that that's not the norm. I think when it was put in place, the intent was that you would maybe have one or two or three of these services at any given time. The problem that we have today is there are 33 services that are on a hardship exemption, and I would venture to say there's probably at least another 30 that, when push came to shove, if you really looked at their levels, probably should be as well. So the reality is that this is not really an exemption, but has almost become standard operating practice. I give the Department of Health a tremendous amount of credit for their leadership, because after having discussions with those folks, their team came together and really tried to draw together stakeholders over the course of last year to look at this issue among others. And so there was a pretty comprehensive 10-point plan that was developed over the course of last summer. This was one of the items that was addressed. And the intent here is certainly not to lower the quality of care. In fact, I would argue that what this bill does, it actually improves it to some degree, because currently right now under the hardship exemption, drivers of the ambulance have no requirements other than basically a valid driver's license. The intent here is to have those folks have basic things like CPR training, et cetera, not to take them through the full level of the EMT, but so that if they needed to, they could assist in those cases. Where this really kind of hits home is, and I've used this example before, right now, today in Gettysburg, if I were a Benton man, there are probably three qualified EMTs that are in the area today that would be able to respond. And so when the hospital or the nursing home has a patient that has to be transferred to Aberdeen or to Pierre from Gettysburg, those two EMTs have to come in, two of those three EMTs come in, take this stable patient, and essentially it's probably about an 8-hour turnaround to make all of that happen. So I ask you, is it better to have those two EMTs transferring this stable patient, leaving one EMT in the community to respond to the real emergency or the car crash or the heart attack? Or would we maybe be better off sending one EMT in those cases to do the transfer and leaving the two back home to address the real emergency? So what I would tell you is I think this bill is really kind of a reflection of reality. It does help to improve quality in the sense that these drivers, working through the Department of Health, they're identifying some good objective measures that should be put into place there. As I've said before, though, if you think we're going to fix the EMS world with this one bill today, that's not going to occur. What I am excited about are, you know, I indicated there are at least 9 other items that the department is going to be working on, and they've indicated that I think these discussions are going to continue with the stakeholders on a much more regular basis until we get things to the point where we think they need to be. So with that, I would certainly, any of the folks that have ever worked in the EMS world, you have a ton of gratitude for me, even though I not necessarily part of that world. They're the folks that are out there every day trying to keep us safe. And I think this bill will help ease some of the administrative headaches that they might have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Brown. Senator Olson, good afternoon, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd also like to urge you all to vote for this bill. I've been an EMT up in Harding County for over 30 years, and this has been a continuing problem on our ambulance crew. We're kind of short of people up there, period. And sometimes there might be only one EMT left in town. Well, we have a choice. We can leave town with that patient that's bleeding out, or we can sit there and wait until somebody comes in from the country, in which time we might not need the ambulance, it might be the coroner that we need. We've been kind of bending this for a long time, and it, so far we haven't had legal problems, but we could definitely in the future. And I just really plead with you to pass this and give the rural areas especially the help we need to keep people alive. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Further remarks? Senator Solholt, good afternoon, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just rise in support of SB 27 and, you know, what could be perceived as we are pulling back on a quality measure, and I see it as just the opposite, that we're allowing flexibility to allow EMS services to continue in our most remote parts of our state, to allow flexibility when we are just doing transports that are of a non-urgent nature, to be more appropriate to utilization of resources, and also having the drivers that would actually have more skill to be able to assist an EMT in the back of an ambulance. I think in South Dakota, we have been so blessed to have volunteer emergency responders. Our good senator that just spoke and the work, for instance, that she's done and others, and that in order to lift up those services instead of providing legislative barriers to their work, and that the commitment to quality remains very, very high, and that they're going to do everything that they can to assure that appropriate transport, helping people arrive as safely as possible, and saving lives in South Dakota. I urge due pass of Senate Bill 27.
Thank you, Senator Solholt. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question for the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 27. Those in favor of final passage will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Madam Secretary, call the roll, please.
Bradford?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Buell O'Donnell?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Hurd?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Fegan?
Aye.
Frerichs, excused. Greenfield?
Aye.
Hager?
Aye.
Haberly?
Aye.
Heinemann?
Aye.
Heinert?
Aye.
Olin?
Aye.
Hanoff?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Amdahl?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Parsley?
Aye.
Peters?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Shorma?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Solano?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Tiedemann?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Van Gerpen?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
White? Mr. President, there are 34 yeas, one excused.
Senate Bill 27, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any title questions? Title's approved. Announcements. Senator Kamak.
I'd like to announce that the Senate State Affairs will meet in room 414 tomorrow, Wednesday, at 10 a.m.
Thank you. Senator Peters.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have a little bit of a schedule change in appropriations tomorrow. We have the Blue Ribbon Task Force tomorrow between 9 and 10, and bill hearings from 10 to 12, so it is not our normal 8 to noon. So I just want to make a point that if you have not heard the Blue Ribbon Task Force findings and recommendations, please come to Appropriations, LCR 1, between 9 and 10, and then we have bill hearings from 10 to noon. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. Local government tomorrow morning, 7:45 sharp a.m. We do have a pretty good calendar of bills to take care of in room 412.
Thank you. Senator Hager.
Thank you, Mr. President. If you come early to Catacomb Caucus tomorrow at 7 a.m., you'll probably get to your 7:45 committee on time.
Very good. Senator Rampelberg.
Thank you, Mr. President. There'll be no Health Committee meeting tomorrow morning.
Thank you. Senator Valley, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Senate Transportation, 8 o'clock. Thank you.
You bet. Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Taxation Committee, 10 o'clock, will not meet.
All right. Any other announcements? Then probably the best announcement of the day. Boots, you're up.
Senator Heinemann moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
All those in favor of that phenomenal motion by Senator Heinemann signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We are adjourned. And Senator Monroe, you have...